This Marketplace podcast is supported by Invest Puerto Rico. What's next in innovation? That's not the right question. It's where. Puerto Rico, more than just a tropical paradise, it's innovation's paradise, where startups and global players coexist in a vast and vibrant ecosystem, where talent runs deep, highly skilled, and bilingual. Plus, the island offers the most competitive tax incentives in the U.S. If you believe your business can go anywhere, Puerto Rico is the place. Find out more at investpr.org/marketplace. Again, that address is investpr.org/marketplace.
Is international trade helping or hurting the economic recovery?
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
Good morning from APM, American Public Media in Los Angeles. I'm Jeremy Hobson with The Morning Open, a look at business and the economy as Wall Street starts the day. Coming up, we'll dig into this morning's trade numbers and find out how imports and exports are affecting the U.S. economy. But first, where's Wall Street? Stocks are lower right now. The Dow's down 60 points at 12,320. The Nasdaq down about 0.4%, and the S&P 500 down about 0.5%. Aluminum maker Alcoa kicked off corporate earnings season with a quarterly profit thanks to higher aluminum prices. Tomorrow, we'll hear from the banking sector when JPMorgan Chase reports its quarterly earnings. Now let's get to this morning's news on the trade deficit. It fell slightly to about $46 billion in February. That means we bought about $46 billion more from other countries than we sold to them. Let's get the details now from our regular Tuesday analyst, Julie Nieman of Smith Moore & Company. She's with us live from St. Louis. Good morning, Julie.
Morning, Jeremy.
So these days when you hear deficit, you think bad. Is that the case when it comes to a trade deficit?
Well, it's neither good nor bad. A trade deficit just means you bought stuff on credit and paid for it with an IOU. Here in the United States, we buy oil, clothes, consumer goods from the rest of the world because we don't make much of it here.
Right.
We sell machinery, technology, services, agriculture products. But right now, we're buying more than we're selling. The problem is, how do you pay for it? Since we buy more than we sell, we have to pay for it with IOUs. That means borrowing money, namely issuing treasury bonds and racking up more debt. Now, it's bad when governments borrow a lot of money to pay for it all, and then they blow it, spend it wastefully. And if you spend it productively and grow, that's good, but that's not what we have been doing. We've just been racking up a lot of debt.
Well, Julie, President Obama has said he wants to double the number of exports that we do. Do this morning's numbers indicate that we are doing everything that needs to be done in order to do that?
Well, it's a swell idea to sell more to the rest of the world, except they've got a lot of debt, too. We've got a debt bomb basically hanging over the whole world. And unless we get good, strong global economic growth, nobody can pay down the debt to be able to afford to buy more stuff. So you have to take care of first things first, work off the debt, reschedule the debt, and then get productivity going back into the rest of the world so that we can afford to buy stuff from each other.
All comes back to the debt. Julie Nieman, analyst at Smith Moore & Company, thanks so much.
You bet.
Remember the $38 billion in cuts for the rest of this fiscal year, the cuts that lawmakers agreed to in order to avoid a government shutdown last Friday? Well, last night, we finally got the details of what's being cut. They include $414 million in grants to state and local police departments, $1.6 billion in funding for the Environmental Protection Agency, and $504 million in food assistance to poor mothers and their babies. But most of the cuts are being described as phantom savings and accounting tricks.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by Thomson Reuters, committed to empowering professionals of the world with the knowledge needed to do what they do best, the knowledge effect. And by Microsoft, providing comprehensive business solutions for the cloud. You can learn more at Microsoft.com/cloud. Marketplace Innovations Desk is supported by Jaguar. You can experience the 2011 Jaguar XJ at a local dealer or visit JaguarUSA.com.
More bad news for Texas, which is in the middle of the worst drought since the 1960s. Forecasters are expecting less than average rainfall over the next 3 months. Officials say two-thirds of the wheat fields in Texas are in poor condition, and the drought has almost doubled global wheat prices in the past year. This is yet another reminder of just how much we rely on water. And we're going to talk about that now with journalist Charles Fishman. He's just written a book about water called The Big Thirst, and he joins us now. Good morning.
Good morning, Jeremy.
So you say we're on the verge of a modern water revolution. Tell us what you mean by that.
We're at the end of the golden age of water in the developed world, as I think of it, water that has been unlimited and essentially free. We will start using the right water for the right price and the right purpose. We won't clean water to drinking water standards and then flush our toilets with it or water our lawns with it.
Well, we may think that the water is free, but as you write, there have been many cases when the water has almost run out in big areas, and there's been a lot of behind-the-scenes stuff going on to try to get water to the people, which is anything but free.
Barcelona, Spain, came so close to running out of water a couple years ago that they actually tried to bring water in by ship. The first ship supplied 32 minutes of water, and the second ship supplied 62 minutes of water. So you have to think long term. We're very touchy about reusing wastewater, and I think we need to sort of think differently about that. All the water on Earth has been through a dinosaur kidney. Every bottle of Evian you drink from is Tyrannosaurus Rex P. All the water on Earth has been here for 4.5 billion years. It's all toilet to tap at some level.
Let's talk about a place that, if you really think about it, shouldn't exist because of the lack of water, and that is Las Vegas. How bad are things for Vegas when it comes to water?
Well, Las Vegas relies for almost all its water on Lake Mead,
right?
And Lake Mead is more than half empty.
Hmm.
So Las Vegas is watching its water supply disappear. At the same time, despite the fountains and the lagoons, Las Vegas is actually one of the most water-smart cities in the country. The city as a whole today uses exactly the same amount of water as it used 10 years ago, even though the population has increased by 50%.
After spending so much time studying water, tell us what you think the number one thing that needs to be done in this country is to secure our water future.
Well, this is a little hard to quantify, but I think the number one thing people need to do is pay a little more attention to water. Most of us have no idea where our actual water comes from, what's required to get it to us. It would be okay to appreciate the water a little more.
Charles Fishman, author of a fascinating new book called The Big Thirst. Thanks so much for being with us.
Thanks for having me, Jeremy.
And as you head out to get your Dasani or Evian today, consider this fact from Charles Fishman's book. Americans spend about $21 billion a year on bottled water. That's almost as much as we spend to maintain our entire drinking water system. There are a whole lot more facts about water at our big book blog at marketplace.org. In Los Angeles, I'm Jeremy Hobson, on Twitter at Jeremy Hobson, and this is the Marketplace Morning Report. And this is APM, American Public Media.
There have been farm subsidies in Europe since the Second World War ended. The fighting over them, though, that's just beginning.
They don't realize that a lot of the money is going to people who are really wealthy, wealthier than them.
I'm Kai Rizdal, the politics of European economics and the day's business news. Next time on Marketplace, it's from APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.